Good morning, church. Good morning. Last week for Operation Christmas Child, so if you haven't already done so, please bring us your boxes in, and if you don't have a box, there's some available still. It is not too late. So obviously we do all this early so they get things by Christmas. So if you haven't already jumped in, please do. It's a cool thing. Also, I want to welcome one of our missionaries. I think they're in town. Boniface and Sarah, are you guys here? They'll be in town soon. I think they'll have a table. I'll just give you a heads up. They'll have a table out on the patio. Boniface is president of Bridges to Nations, which is an organization that trains and teaches indigenous leaders in their setting to share the gospel, primarily in Africa. But he has a TV show. He's got a radio show that stretches the world. So I just want to encourage you, go out and meet him and say hi. And if you've been around PCC for a couple decades, you'll remember Sarah. She was a regular attender here as well. So we welcome them. So is it just me? I know it's not just me, but that kind of started that way. Is it just me? Or are there like 100 million pharmaceutical commercials on TV now? And maybe that has to do with the type of show you watch and how they figure your demographic, but the shows I'm watching, I mean, it's 80% of them. Now, nothing against pharmaceuticals. I'm not going to go down big pharma road, but I'm just highlighting that. And when you watch these commercials, it looks very pleasant. Whatever their, I'm not even going to say a name, but whatever that is, you know, basically this will solve all your problems. Kind of prescription. And it shows people just laughing and, you know, dancing. And the tone of the benefits is very, very slow, very methodical. It's got music. And then the shift. You know the shift I'm talking about. When they have to legally talk about side effects, right? Now all of a sudden the music stops. They talk 150 miles an hour. And, you know, you may lose your hair, you may lose your head, your insides will be on your outsides, and you'll lose arms and all that. Blah, 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 blah. But the people are still dancing, right? So what are they doing? It's a mind game, right? They want you to focus on the benefits, but legally they're obligated. They don't want you to focus on the side effects, so you'll buy their product because they know you are what you think. And if they can get you thinking this is good, you buy. Now, this isn't big pharma. This isn't just pharmaceuticals. This is the media. This is the advertising industry and how they do it. And today, there's a real mind game going on when it comes to fear, worry, and anxiety. And that's promoted everywhere. Why? Because if they can get us fearful, concerned, and anxious, then we become vulnerable for influence and in need of their solution. Happens every day. It's all over social media, it's all over TV, it's in our culture. But it's not healthy, because anxiety is the number one mental illness and struggle today. 1 in 3 people struggle with this. That means people probably in your homes do, or in your extended family do. People in your neighborhoods do. People in your workplace do. It's a real thing. So how do we navigate through this and keep our mental health in shape? Because as we'll read here this morning, we know that Jesus, the Apostle Paul, throughout Scripture, Christians don't need to be anxious. Christians don't need to be fearful. In fact, perfect love casts out fear, right? So, part 4. I've entitled this morning's message, Mind Games. And we're going to look at how to find relief during anxious times, which are the ones we live in, part 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, just 2 verses here this morning. Now, how many of you have been with us for the first 3 weeks, last 3 weeks? Okay, some of you haven't. I'm gonna give a quick version and review. You can time me, start your timer now. I think I can get it to like 6 minutes. Okay, so don't think this is, oh no, is he gonna start all over? No, you can go back and log onto the webpage for that. So we started our study in Matthew 6, Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is dealing with an anxious crowd. They're worrying about what they're gonna eat. They're worrying about what they're gonna drink. They're worrying about what they're gonna wear. Welcome to life. That can consume us here today too. It's called make a living. And Jesus told them three times, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, which implies they have a choice. And that's one of the points, the first point we looked at when it comes to this topic, is we have a choice whether to be anxious or not. You may not think you have a choice because it's so overwhelming and so consuming and so part of who you are in your DNA, but you actually do have a choice. Now, you have a choice whether you're in the thick of it, you have the choice whether you're at the beginning of it, you have a choice at the end of it. So that was the first point. We unpacked that a little bit. In other words, it doesn't just happen to us. We have a choice if we allow it to happen to us. But Jesus went on and talked about how God feeds the birds. God clothes the fields, if you will, the lilies of the field. God provides for those, and they're not anxious. And how much more does God love you? So he gets their focus vertical. In other words, you're all anxious because you're right here and you don't see a way out. And he says, no, go vertical here. And so we talked about that. It's the second point. We talked about refocus on God for stability. Go from this small locket photo of here, now, and my issue to a broader perspective of God and eternity. And all of a sudden that starts balancing it out. So we unpacked that. That was week one. Then week two, Jesus went on, we were still in Matthew 6, and said, seek instead, don't be anxious, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So seek first is your perspective, and his righteousness now has actions to it. It's things to do, and we talked about that. Number three, we talked about, step into godly obedience. So much of anxiety and fear is to sit in that mind grind and be immobilized. And it's like, no, that's a foot on the gas, foot on the brake. Put it in gear and move forward and do something. Do what? Do what God wants you to do. And then we talked about options for that. So it's not about passivity, but activity, okay? So that was the first part. Then the next part, Jesus said, don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow has enough stuff for itself. Don't go there. And we talked about how anxiety is always projecting negativity in the future. So stop that. Don't go there. Be present. Be here. Be now. I think that's number four. Practice keeping a one-day perspective. And that's a practice. That's an over and over again kind of thing. So that was week two. Last week, we transitioned from Matthew chapter 20 into Philippians 4, where Paul was talking to an anxious church. He was in a prison cell. They were anxious over his imprisonment. But he wasn't crazy, so he must have that secret little key, he must have that secret little nugget to prevent that happening in his own life. And he talks about it, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't be anxious. So Paul, and we saw earlier in that letter, had a different perspective about his imprisonment. Rather than seeing his limitations, rather than seeing that what's going on now, I can't preach the gospel, he saw what God was doing and how God was advancing the gospel in the prison. He saw how his imprisonment was making other Christians more bold in presenting the gospel. He saw the good. And so the first point we looked at last week is look for the good in every situation. Remember I told you, anxiety is projecting negativity in the future. What is good right now? Oh, we can, anxiety will just laundry list of what's bad, but what is good? There is good in every situation. Even if you go back to your heart is beating, you got clothes on, you got food in the fridge and probably your stomach. You have a car that you drove to church. You have some friends. Yeah, but there's friends, they're really struggling. Yeah, but you got other friends too. What is good? Because again, that's a reality check. That's not just positive thinking, that's reality thinking. And then the final point last week comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. A promise of peace if you, and then the point we looked at was pray throughout the day. Get conversational with the Lord, especially if you deal with anxiety, because anxiety will come. Boom, turn that care into prayer. Turn that care. Don't isolate it. Don't put it on an island. Don't hide it in a quiet time and then end it when you walk out the door. Don't say amen. Keep the conversation going. Why? Because you're making yourself available, and I'll get more into it today. You're making yourself available for God to do a work in your life. There's a promise of peace if we do this. All right, that's the last 3 weeks. How long did that take? Not bad, right?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. Let's see, how can we figure that out? Yeah, 6 minutes, 6 point. Okay, I'll work on it. Thank you, though, for timing me. Appreciate that. So, I read to you verses 6 and 7 by way of review. Let's keep talking, because Paul is in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I'm going to read that again and fill in a little, kind of contrast that. So let's keep that passage up there. Finally, brothers, whatever's true versus a lie. Whatever is honorable, that word means sacred, versus dishonorable. Whatever is just, that word literally means innocent, versus abusive. Whatever is pure versus polluted. Whatever is lovely, that means agreeable, has to do with our language, versus divisive. Whatever's commendable, literally virtuous in speaking, versus crass. If anything is excellent, if anything is worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about these things is a command in the tense of the verb, but it's an ongoing command. Continue to think about these things. Continue to meditate on these things. Continue to focus on these things. He is giving the secret to prevent anxiety. It's proactive. Paul is highlighting the truth. You are what you think. Garbage in, the opposite of these, garbage out. Good in, good out. Anxiety is a product of what you expose yourself, here's the key, and your thinking patterns to. That's what anxiety is. It's thoughts. So, if my thoughts can cause me harm, then it's important I monitor my thoughts so I don't create harm. If my thoughts can cause me good, it's important that I pay attention to my thoughts because it can be good. You are what you think. So number one this morning, or number seven in the list, how to find relief during anxious times, monitor your mental input. Last week, we talked about trying to find the good in a situation. You'll be less likely to do that if you're constantly exposing yourself to negative input. It'll be hard to do that. We joke about the word negative nanny. That happens over time based on input. Proverbs 4:20 talks about how this even goes beyond our mental health. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. I was reading a Harvard survey. 75 to 98% of all mental, physical, and behavioral illnesses comes from your thought life. That's amazing. This means that 2 to 25% is your environment or genetics. Research shows that your thought life impacts your genes and can actually change your DNA. Wild. I did a little reading on that this week, and all I can tell you is the more I read, the more jaw-dropping it was. How God made us and our brains and what's involved in our brains. Just the idea that your thoughts are chemicals is wild. We think thoughts are air, idea. We don't think they're liquid. But you know, you've heard about some of these, they call them neurotransmitters, these thoughts, these liquids, dopamine. You've heard of that, right? It's a classic one. Everybody talks about dopamine. That's the feel good. You've heard of oxytocin. Those are the thoughts of trust and bonding that happen very early in a child's life. You've heard of serotonin. That has to do with your mood and your memory. And you've probably heard of norepinephrine. That is the flight or fight chemical thought, anxiety, if you will. So a healthy life is a healthy brain chemistry. But when the brain chemistry gets off whack based on thinking, because remember, thinking triggers the chemical. It's kind of like, think about a bar and you got all these tap pulls, right? And so if you have an anxious thought, anxious chemistry goes into your brain. If you have a feel-good thought, dopamine goes into your brain. And when these things are out of balance, when there's too much dopamine, or it's falsely achieved through drugs, through things that will, then it's on all the time, and this creates an addiction. That you need that again. You think you need that again, but your body doesn't. Your body makes all these chemicals. The key is balance. It's wild. And so the more that chemical is released, it develops a neural pathway, which is like a groove. Do you realize that, and this is just 1 week of reading on it, so I'm not an expert. Some of you are going, well, you got that little bit wrong. Well, okay, whatever. I'm the 80% rule here, okay? And your brain is changing daily. Here's mine. Do you realize that you have 100,000 chemical interactions going on per second in your brain? And your brain is constantly changing. Why would it be constantly changing? Based on your thought pattern, which releases the chemicals, which creates the grooves. Get where I'm going? You can change your brain. And some of us have so conditioned our brain based on our thought life or what we allow in that we got strong, deep neural pathways. Can they change? Absolutely, they can change. That's why Jesus could say, don't be anxious. You have a decision whether it can change or not. I have a decision. It expands it a little more. I know it has for me. When I thought, you know, I was monitoring kind of my negativity or different things, and I thought, oh, don't go there. I don't want that pathway to get deeper. Slow down on the tap, right? Like there's physiological things that happen as a result of it, and God made it that way. It's kind of wild. So that's why Paul can say, hey, focus on this good stuff because it'll have lasting effects on your life physiologically. I don't know. For me, it was crazy. Yeah, I'll tell you in a second, but your brain being able to change, you've heard of neuroplasticity? Yeah, you haven't. Okay. It just means it can, just think of plastic and it can be molded. Okay. So what does that look like? Well, I'll tell you what it looked like for me. I told you, a month ago I was in Europe for 3 weeks. I didn't look at my phone. I didn't turn on the news. I didn't turn on the TV. No input for 3 weeks from media. Unreal. I was so calm. This is right at the height of the election, right, where everybody's chirping. I didn't hear anybody's voice. I didn't hear Trump's, I didn't hear Kamala's, I didn't hear CNN's, I didn't hear Fox, I didn't hear anybody. It was so calming. I felt almost like insulated, like they can't get me. I'm in the middle of the Swiss Alps, who can get me there, right? It was just so regulating. And then right when I hit, right when everything starts going, dysregulation immediately. What if? What if? And I really don't think we were made for what we're experiencing. And that's why a lot of dysregulation takes place. Overstimulation. I think that's why we struggle. And it's the number one, anxiety is the number one mental illness that is today. Because of the input, the input, the input. I just encourage you, take a social media sabbatical and replace it with something else. Go for a walk. Go look at a tree. We live by the ocean. Go down and sit there. Watch that. That's lovely. That's praiseworthy. Versus another round of stop and ask yourself the question, is this good for me? To watch this, to ingest this, to ponder this. Is this good for me? Or am I allowing crassness? Am I allowing criticism? Am I allowing, division? Am I allowing all these things? And if I allow all these things, why am I surprised when I struggle? One of the first things I ask a couple if they come in and or even individuals and they're struggling, they can't sleep at night. First thing I ask, what are you watching on TV? Oh, 911 shows. Well, of course you're concerned about the guy coming in with a knife and da-da-da, because you've been ingesting that. Right? We know this for our kids, don't we? We wouldn't show them anything that's disrupting because they might not sleep. They got the same brain. So, monitor your mental input. If you were at the men's breakfast last week, Oscar talked a little bit about this, but I really took to heart. He does an annual sabbatical where the first of the year, for the first 3 weeks of the year, he turns his phone off in terms of media. I mean, he's got to answer texts every once in a while because he's got a job, but other than that, no input. Now, you might think that's hard. And if you think that's hard, that's telling. But I'm telling you, it's not. It'll be refreshing. And that should tell you something about your brain, your chemistry, what you're doing to protect or not protect. Okay, let's keep reading. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Another promise of peace. Practice. Present active imperative verb. What's that mean? Keep practicing. You can make it a participle. Practicing. Keep practicing. Not practice. This isn't one and done. This isn't something that you're going to get by next week. This isn't something you're going to get down in a month. Arguably, How long did it take your brain to get to the place it is from a chemical standpoint? It wasn't overnight. A lot of things feed into that. Our childhood feeds into that. Trauma feeds into that. A lot of things feed into that. And so just by kind of doing a couple of these things randomly isn't going to change a whole lot. He said, practice these things. Continue to do these things. In other words, it's a life work. This is a marathon, not a sprint. Because if it was a sprint, we wouldn't have a problem. We'd have it fixed super easy. So this is our second and final point. How to find relief during anxious times. Be patient with yourself. As you practice, managing your expectations will be the key. Because you wonder why, probably, it's not happening quicker. And then what can happen is you can be anxious about being anxious. And it's a cycle. And now we've created a cycle where it's on. Chemical dump. And some people have gotten to the point where they can't flip that off. They need to medicate in order to flip it off for a while. But being patient with yourself, the temptation is, I did like you said. I stopped watching that bad show. I did like you said. I took a 3-week sabbatical. I did like you said. I looked for the good in this situation. Awesome. Keep practicing. There's nothing in life that you become a pro overnight on by practicing once. And the more you practice, the better you'll get at it. See, this has to do with now how we measure success. So do we measure success by the relief we experience, or do we measure success by the amount of practicing we're doing? I would suggest to do the other. It's like a football player complaining he's not a pro yet and he rarely practices. And think about pro athletes or anything that somebody's really good at it. They don't just practice when there's a problem. They practice as a way of life. But you got to be patient with yourself. You got to lower your expectations. Say, this is a marathon. One day at a time. One step at a time. But as you continue to do it over time, and you look back, you say, I'm better today than I was last year. I'm more balanced today. I'm more regulated today than I was last year. I know more about myself last year. I've got disciplines in my life compared to last year. I mean, the Christian life is defined this way. Right? I mean, look at Paul's encouragement to Pastor Timothy. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ. Verse 5, he says, similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not compete to receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. Look at this. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. Look at how Christian life is defined. A soldier, an athlete, a farmer. That's work. That takes time. That takes effort. That's not overnight. I discovered there's a lot being discussed today in the study. It's called neurotheology, which is interesting. And they're really seeing a connection between a belief in God and physical health. In fact, a great book, I would recommend you get it. I'm about halfway through it. It's called Switch On Your Brain by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Maybe some of you have heard of her. Again, it's not a perfect book. I've only read half of it, but it's been very insightful because she's a neuro whatever, surgeon or neurologist at least, that makes these connections between Scripture and our brains. But she says, listen to this, because we talked about how important prayer is. Prayer stimulates serotonin, which is a mood stabilizer, and dopamine, the reward and pleasure system chemical. These are chemicals and messengers that communicate to the nerves and affect how we view the world. The more you engage in prayer, the longer lasting and deeper the changes occur in the brain. She literally said 12 minutes of prayer per day over 8 weeks can change the brain enough that the change comes up on a scan. And God made it. So, let me suggest some practices. Do you have some practices in your life? Those of you that struggle with this? Because we're going to focus on things that are lovely, pure, and other. Okay, so what is the practice of that? Well, there's the physical piece. Somatic exercises. Have you ever heard of that? Somatic exercises? If not, Google it. They're just physical exercises that calm you down physically. Anybody will tell you that when you exercise physically, it's good for your body. It's good for your brain. You go for walks. Have some kind of exercise regimen. There's the physical. Then there's also the emotional. A lot of times when you're caught in anxiety and you're dealing with hyper-focus, hyper-intentionality, if you can step into something that's praiseworthy or lovely, like a hobby, changing that hyper-focus. I know what's really popular today, and it's super interesting to me in terms of anxiety and women in our culture, is painting by numbers. Some of you are laughing because you know what it does is take that hyper-focus, and now it puts it into something, and you're not mind-grinding anymore. You're moving forward. So there's a lot of different things you could do, a hobby. Work. Doing something with your hands. Then there's the spiritual piece. We talked about that. Prayer time. Now you know. If you want to change your brain, 12 minutes a day for 8 weeks, check your brain. She said it's going to be changed. Adds a whole new meaning to prayer partners up here, doesn't it? These people aren't just going to pray with you and encourage you. They're going to change your brain or help you to. Reading God's word. Listening to healthy podcasts, input, monitoring the input, learning about yourself. And then there's the relational piece. Limiting the input of people that aren't good for you. Protecting your own mental health. And hanging around people that are good for you. So there's physical, there's emotional, there's spiritual, there's relational. Scripture and science both show that we're wired for love and optimism. That was before the fall. Then sin came in the world, negativity, and it impacts our thinking, and we make negative choices. And the quality of our thinking suffers. But if we deal with this in a healthy way, in a biblical way, it can actually change the architecture of your mind. So I encourage you, take these 8 steps, give them some thought, put them into action. Not one and done. And maybe you're sitting here and you're going, you know, this is my 4th week. And I never worry. I'm never concerned. Awesome. We want to be like you. Maybe you got an extra dose of something, but I would ask you to keep this in your Bible. Because depending on your age, and depending on the triggers, we're all vulnerable. Think about it. Little kids don't usually worry. but they haven't lived enough life. It's a matter of time. All you got to do is have a kid and it starts to worry. Right? And then that never goes away. All right, that's another sermon. Let me pray. Lord, it's remarkable how complex we are, but yet Scripture says we're made in your image and likeness. It's remarkable how you've made our minds. We're just figuring it out, and I can't remember. It was just such a small percent of our minds we even use. There's a whole amazing thought in and of itself. And so, Lord, I do pray for new neural paths to be established, that we would be aware and monitor ourselves, what we allow in, what we ponder, what we entertain. A lot of times we can fake ourselves out, Lord, and say, oh, I can handle that. I can watch that. That doesn't bother me. And fool ourselves until over time we realize, wow, it isn't good. So, Lord, I pray that we'd be aware this week of our habits, our reactions. And thank you, Lord, that your word is just so simple, that you don't have to get into all the neuron stuff. You just tell us what to do. And however that happens, whether it's a spiritual anointing or a brain chemical adjustment, it's all you because you made us. So I pray for stabilizing encouraging, balanced day today in our thinking. And I pray for those, Lord, that find themselves in a dark cloud, find themselves in this anxious place, that you would just give them a supernatural lift. As much as the clouds can come in, that you just clear it out with the sun. Thank you for your word. May we walk in it, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. We'll see you next week.